It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every heart, every woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every heart, every woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our conversation for today, we're going to set the tone for the show with some live music. Sit back and enjoy. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We're on the Word 100.7 FM. And as always, I have my good friend Vicki McMurray joining me as co-host today. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, we have a great show planned for today. Our show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find more information on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. I'm very excited to have Katie Moore here with us today. Katie is, I call her, a mom extraordinaire.
Not worthy.
Then,
but
of course you are. Of course you are. Katie and her husband, Tyler, they are parents of a wonderful child, George, with special needs. And they have just gone through kind of quite a journey to get to today. I think you said George is two and a half years.
Yeah.
So Katie, I can remember when you and Tyler were kind of just in the middle of all this, trying to understand what was going on with George and trying to just find information about his illness and connect with other parents that, you know, were going through the same thing. And I remember that Tyler said, you know, we just wanted to change a dirty diaper, you know.
I know, right? It's hard to think that you would be like wishing for that.
Right.
I can't even imagine.
Right. But there were so many things going on with George's health, and so just kind of share with us that road that you and Tyler traveled.
So we had been praying for about a year and a half to get pregnant. So it, you know, when we got pregnant, we were so excited. Had a pretty uneventful pregnancy, birth. Everything was great. But about 2 days after George was born, they noticed that he wasn't pooping, which is not right. You know, usually within the first 24 hours, they like to see a movement. And he hadn't been pooping. So kind of went down a long road to get a diagnosis of what's called total colonic Hirschsprung's disease. So basically that means that George was born with a large intestine and a small intestine, like most people, but his nerve cells didn't work. So he couldn't pass stool. So they had to take him into surgery and actually found out in surgery just how extensive his diagnosis was. So they thought it was just going to be like the last portion of his colon. They were just going to resect it. He'll be fine. Rest of his life, he'll poop normal. And when they got into surgery, they realized, oh, it's actually his entire colon and part of his small intestine. So they called us back, told us, you know, we're going to have to do an ileostomy bag. He's going to have a bag for about a year or nine months to a year. And then we'll come back in, resect it down back to his rectum, and hopefully he'll poop like a normal kid. The cool thing, and I think the way that God just really protects these kiddos, is your small intestine, when you have this, will take on the role of the large intestine.
Oh, really?
And so over time, you know, he kind of has to train his small intestine to be like, you know, because I guess the role of the colon is to absorb water. I didn't know all of these things, of course, until, you know, I became like a student of what he had. But, so it absorbs water. So your small intestine will take on that role, but it just takes a little bit of time. So we had to wait kind of the 10, 11 months. I think it was about 11 months before we could do the pull-through procedure. And then he started pooping in a diaper like a normal baby. And it was crazy. We were so excited to see poop. I mean, we were like cheering in the hospital room, like, we've got poop.
The last thing I think I was doing when I was changing diapers. So real quick, though, I want to ask, because I don't know this. So when he was born, how soon then did he go into surgery?
So he was born on November 8th. I don't remember exactly what day. I think it was day 10 that he went into surgery. So it took a little while. They had to kind of, you know, because when they know something's wrong, you know, they have to run all these series of tests. And then we did what's called a rectal biopsy, where, you know, they just took a portion of his colon to see, are there nerve cells there? And then that was how we knew, okay, there's no nerve cells in this portion. But usually it kind of works its way up from the rectum. So we didn't know how much was affected until he went into surgery. So that's kind of like part A of his story, where the digestive issues. When he was about 2.5 months old, he got RSV. So,
That's scary.
It's super scary. I mean, for, you know, adults, you know, it looks like a really bad cold. But I got it first, and then George got it when he was about 2.5 months. And so then he went into the hospital. He actually had to be intubated pretty quickly, which was super scary. And he was intubated for 4 days, but they noticed they were having trouble getting him off of the sedation medicine. So most people, you know, they give you a little bit of sedation so you're not like pulling out the tubes and everything. But for George, he was just riding the vent. I mean, he was just happy just to, like, let the vent do all of the work. So, anyway, they noticed quickly that something wasn't right. Even after they extubated him, when he would fall asleep, his oxygen levels would drop. So that kind of sent us down another road of, like, why is he not breathing well when he sleeps? And then they kind of, you know, put two and two together with the Hirschsprung's disease, and then they found this pretty rare syndrome called congenital central hypoventilation syndrome, where basically your body does not regulate oxygen and CO2 well. It's a pretty big spectrum in terms of, you know, what kind of children or people are, you know, affected by it. And we didn't really know what the diagnosis would look for him. We had a 5-week waiting period after he had the
5 weeks.
Yeah, so he had the blood draw, and then we had to wait 5 weeks. So lots of wrestling, lots of what ifs.
How long was he in the hospital when he had RSV?
About 2.5 weeks.
Okay, and then during that time.
And so we came home just on oxygen, not really knowing what was going on, and then had to wait until we got the diagnosis. So oxygen doesn't really it doesn't really cure or help what his hypoventilation is. He needs an actual ventilator to take the breaths for him. And so once we got the diagnosis, we kind of went down, you know, the path of, okay, how do we figure out how to treat this? You know, what's our treatment plan look like? Almost all of the children have tracheostomy.
Oh, wow.
And so we were at this point, he was 5 months old. So we were like, what do we do? Because he seems to be doing well.
Right.
You know, and anyway. So.
Was he happy? I mean, all I'm thinking about is this poor sweet baby.
Oh, my gosh. He was so happy.
And you're a first-time mom. And just.
It was hard, you know.
I
mean, I think about that time, and it's sad, you know, because it should have been such a happy time, you know, with our new baby. And he was so precious and sweet and just laughing and smiling, but it was tough.
So with the ventilator, because you said that he's got to have a ventilator, and this is when he sleeps, right?
Yep.
To actually make sure that he takes breaths
yeah.
in and out. And so, but, you know, he's 5 months old. So
so what did that look like?
Yes, what does that look like? Honestly, I'm trying to envision that myself.
Right.
So most of the doctors were like, he should, you know, you need to do a tracheostomy. You know, that's pretty much the treatment. And so we were like, well, we became a part of the CCHS network on Facebook, which was huge. Like, it was so helpful. I mean, because these people really understood what we were going through. I mean, there are 1,200 cases in the world. So,
yeah. How rare.
Yeah, it's really rare. Wow. And, like, his particular genetic makeup, there's only, like, I think 10 known cases or something. Mm. So, I mean, it was a very lonely place then. But so we did research and found out that maybe he could be mask ventilated, where he wears a mask at night and it's still hooked up to the same ventilator and everything, but it's just non-invasive. So we were thinking, well, maybe we can try this. And then if it doesn't work, we'll go the tracheostomy route kind of as a last resort.
Right.
And so we got the mask in and the ventilator. And we didn't really get a lot of, like, I mean, the guy who came and set it up was like, well, here are the buttons, and this is how you turn it on, and, you know. So I remember him leaving, and I'm sitting here looking at my six-month-old son.
Right.
And I just called my mom. And I was like, Mama, you got to, like, I need you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even tell you how to do anything with this equipment. I need help. And, you know, just like moms do, they show up.
Yeah.
So we moved one of our living room chairs into the middle of his room, and for, you know, a really long time, we just would sit in that chair with him, swaddled up, and just put the mask on and, you know, pray that he would sleep for a little bit. And we would, you know, all kind of take turns doing it. So, you know, my husband would do it for half the night, and then I'd come in and do it for the second half of the night, and my mom would come in and do it in the morning so we could sleep a little bit. And we just kind of took turns. And then once he got, you know, where we didn't have to hold him, my husband and I slept on the nursery floor for about 6 months.
Oh, my goodness. So, bless your heart. Wow.
We were tired.
Yeah.
We were really tired. Yeah.
But what else do you do? It's your baby.
I mean, yeah, you just you do whatever for your kids. And
this was like a total life shift, you know, because you know, normally the plan is, you know, you have a baby and either mom's going to stay home or then we're going to do some type of daycare and, you know, while going back to work. So
It's a small interruption and then you just keep going with your life with the plus one
with the plus
in your
one.
Life.
Yes. So this did this change every single thing?
Yes. So I had convinced my work that I, you know, if I could go back part-time, I thought I could do part-time.
Okay.
And Tyler had a cousin who lived here in Dallas, and his wife was pregnant. And so she came and watched him 2 times a week so that I could go work. And we did that from, I think I went back in March, and then I quit in September. So it just, I couldn't keep up with it. I mean, and it wasn't, I mean, the place that I worked was awesome. My boss was awesome. It wasn't them. It was just, you know, I was literally operating on like a couple hours sleep and it wasn't even at the same time. I mean, it was like 45 minutes here, an hour here, you know, and so it needed to happen so that I could really focus all of my time and attention, everything onto George.
Yeah.
So,
you and Tyler, I know that you all are, you're Christians, you love the Lord, you know, in church and involved in church and everything. And so, I mean, just with your walk with the Lord, like how did that all work with such a difficult, uncertain road ahead? You're just really trying to figure this out.
Yeah, it's like survival mode. Mm-hmm. Like you're literally like, I just need enough grace just to get through today.
Right. Yeah. You know? Or the next hour.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I think just our small group and just the people that we knew and that knew what was, you know, kind of going on with us, they just rallied around us, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean, there were so many times where, like, and I mean, I'll even get emotional thinking about it. Like, I think about, you know, looking out in our front yard mm-hmm. and like our small group would be in a circle praying.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna make me cry. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So people really lifted us up, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, mm-hmm. Tyler and I prayed a lot, you know, but we couldn't be the friends and the churchgoers, you know, that we wanted to be, right. you know, obviously. And so we prayed, we, you know, and then just depended on our friends and our, you know, family just to kind of carry us mm-hmm. the rest of the way. And mm-hmm. they did because that's who they are.
Yes. I think that's a good point you make, too. You said something that struck me, you know, we just couldn't be the friends we wanted to be. And I think we ebb and flow in all relationships like that. Yeah. And, you know, when we have difficult times, we have to rely on people to lift us up and to walk us through something that maybe we're just tired and overwhelmed.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the body of believers is just amazing. And right. whenever there's like a traumatic event or diagnosis or whatever, it's just people just rally. Yeah. And yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's just something really powerful about the body.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a blessing. I mean, it seems like every show, I think we work our way into talking about how important small group is.
Mm-hmm.
You
it's
know,
amazing.
What mm-hmm. some kind of small group that you can find to mm-hmm. get yourself in, whether it's women or married couples or a men's group, because life happens and mm-hmm. you're going to need other people.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to ask.
No, mm-hmm. no.
You know?
No, we didn't ask it for, right. I mean, people would be like, can we bring you dinner? I'm like, no, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to say, yeah, could you bring us, you know, XYZ? I mean, you know, right. you don't know what you need.
And a cure right. while you're at it.
Right, exactly. Oh, goodness, that'd be great.
I know.
Yeah, so how is life now? So what's the norm now?
George is, I mean, if you saw him today, first of all, you'd be like, he's crazy. he is so fun. He has so much personality in mm-hmm. life. You just would never know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have people all the time that tell me, he doesn't have a colon? He mm-hmm. can't, like, just fall asleep, you know, in mm-hmm. the car? I'm like, no, I know. It's crazy. But he's just like, he looks like a normal 2.5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really and truly. And that is such a blessing because for so long, like, we just wanted to pray for normalcy. Like, mm-hmm. we're just like, can we just have, like, a normal mm-hmm. day? And so now it's really funny. I find myself at night, you know, just thanking the Lord for just a toddler fit. Like, that was my day.
Yes.
Was just, like, normal toddler
diapers.
Stuff. And poopy diapers, mm-hmm. yeah. Rather than, you know, the really hard medical mm-hmm. stuff where you're having to be an advocate for this little person and, you know, make these decisions that you don't feel qualified to make.
Right, and understand what it is that's actually happening.
Right,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
That is just amazing. So you were... I want to go back because I'm still – so the timeline. So you have him a couple weeks. He has to have surgery. And then we find out he can't breathe at night on his own. So I'm thinking – maybe I'm wrong. Isn't that like sleep apnea?
So it is apnea.
Oh, it is.
So,
okay,
yeah,
sorry.
It's not obstructive apnea
because
like
when
you
I'm
think
hearing
of.
This, I'm like, wait, is that sleep apnea? But
yeah.
And I just didn't know babies could have something like
so
that.
So it's central apnea.
Okay.
So what happens is his brain does not tell him to breathe. So, yeah.
So then take me to the – so the reason why I'm connecting the dots in my brain for this is then you were saying, oh, well, he can't fall asleep in the car. So what does that look like if you're out and about and he's tired – he can't just go to sleep because his brain doesn't tell him to? Or
right.
He,
so he'll fall asleep, but he just doesn't breathe well. So his oxygen will drop and his CO2 will rise.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So
you have to wake him up. Yeah. You have to
it's a lot easier now.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
2.5, you know.
Right.
Like
right.
I said, he's nuts. So he's, you know, back there jamming mm-hmm. to music usually. But like when he was 1, mm-hmm. you know, or 9 months old, I mean, you know, they fall asleep at the drop of a hat,
right.
you know. And I just remember I'd be like leaving Target and I have one arm back like, do not go to sleep, you know, and like
right.
I'm shaking his feet, like, you
right.
know, I would laugh and joke with Tyler, my husband, because I'm like, I'm the only mom out there that doesn't want my kid to fall asleep right,
right
now,
right.
you know.
Right.
But, I mean, you just kind of plan around it. You mm-hmm. I mean, I know, you know, you know your kid best. And so I know, like, he's going to get tired around this time or doing this makes him sleepy mm-hmm. or whatever. So we just try to avoid it. And if it's going to be somewhere far away or if we're going to go on a trip, you know, he can always do the mask in the car.
Oh,
so
okay.
we can do
very
the ventilation
good.
In the car.
Can take it and go.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
I know.
I know.
A lot.
This,
it's amazing.
I mean,
it's so interesting.
My goodness. But we need to take a break. So let's take a break, and then we'll come back with more conversation with Katie Moore. We'll be right back.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration.
Every heart.
Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is Every Heart, Every Woman radio show on The Word 100.7 FM. I have my good friend, Vicki McMurray. She's co-hosting with me today. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you.
And thank you, Katie. Katie Moore is here. We
yes.
are calling her. This is her official title, Mom Extraordinaire.
Woo-woo! You're ridiculous.
She just loves this title, y'all. She's eating it up. She's a mom extraordinaire because she is the mom of a child with special needs, George. And she's been just so open and honest with us and just taking us through their journey, her and her husband, Tyler. Tyler Moore, just taking us through their journey. But I wanted to ask you about surgery because Roosevelt and I, my husband and I, our daughter, when she was young, I think about first grade, they told us that she needed to get her tonsils out and adenoids and tubes in. And that's, you know, many, you know, young children have to have
mm-hmm.
that surgery.
Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon.
Right.
But, you know, that kind of rocked us and we were like, surgery? No. And
even though the doctor said to.
Even though the doctor said to. But it, you know,
it scared you.
It's very scary to let your little one go into surgery. And the nurse at the school who, you know, had been with us throughout all the ear infections and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff, she finally told me, you know, she was like, listen, you know, she's going to have trouble hearing in school, and then her speech is going to go backwards because if she's not hearing consonants, she'll stop saying them. We really need to have the surgery. So we did it. But, I mean, it was just so, I don't know. I hated it.
That's
I was
hard.
Like, I'm not sending my child into surgery. So how did you all get through that time? And, like, what kind of strategies, I guess, can you share with other moms that are having to send their little ones into surgery?
Yeah. Well, let's see. So he was 10 days old when he went
so
in
little.
For his
That's
first surgery.
That's just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah,
yeah it is. But we were just in such a daze. I mean, at the time, I mean, you know, we were just ready to kind of get home.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew that this was a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
We felt really good about the doctor. I mean, the surgeon was just, we had no, like,
do you want to give a shout out to the hospital?
Shout out would be to Children's.
All right.
And our doctor just happened to be the one that was rounding. And mm-hmm. she was the most incredible woman. And, you know, we, of course, were trying to, like, do our research on her mm-hmm. and everything. And hands down, we still believe she's, like, one of the best pediatric surgeons in this country.
Great.
She is amazing. And so we felt really confident in her.
Mm-hmm.
And we just trusted. I mean, I just think there's a, you get to a certain point where mm-hmm. you just know, like, acceptance. You know, you just kind of have to accept it, that this is happening mm-hmm. and then just trust that the Lord is going to take care of everything. Yeah. I mean, obviously, not quite the outcome that we had hoped for. And right. going into that surgery, we mm-hmm. just thought it was going to be a simple procedure. So that was also part of it. I mean, we didn't really understand that he was going to leave that surgery with an ostomy bag, mm-hmm. you know. So when he went in, we just thought, oh, they're just going to go in. It's going to be a simple procedure, a couple hours, and then we'll be back. And so that was kind of actually nice that we didn't know before right. because we probably would have been a whole lot more stressed out. Mm-hmm. The second surgery, you know, it's always hard sending them into surgery, but we were so excited. I mean, we were like, this bag? I mean, doing a year with...
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Yeah. I mean, not to get too graphic, but no, just yeah. I think about, you had to become a nurse, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I'm assuming that I wasn't mean, your it, vocation
no,
prior.
No.
Right. So you had to learn how to take care of your son and do medical procedures, yeah. I assume, to care for him, keep him clean, right, and keep right. everything safe for him. And as a baby, you're wanting to grab things.
Absolutely.
I would think. So I've just been envisioning this could have been a nightmare. There may have been times where it felt like it was a nightmare.
Oh my
but
gosh.
What
yeah.
was that walk like when you're like, I mean, I don't know if you ever felt sorry for yourself, but it's kind of like, what? What am I? I mean, I'm glad right. he's alive. I'm glad there's a procedure and there's a solution to this. Hopefully temporary right. situation, but goodness gracious, I have to, you know, do this. How am I going to get through this?
Right. Well, I mean, there's a grieving period, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, okay. you expected you were going to be the mom of a healthy child, mm-hmm. and you're not. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to grieve that,
yes.
you know.
Yes, and to admit that. I think sometimes yes. we don't want to say that out loud.
Oh, right. yeah. I mean, the day after he, you know, got his ostomy bag, I mean, I was just... I mean, a mess. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, there's no
sure.
other way to put it. I
sure.
mean, I saw the first bag change, and I mean, I got wheezy. I had to sit mm-hmm. down. I was thinking, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not my life. This is
right.
an out-of-body experience.
It's not
this
my
is not happening
gift.
To me right now.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you just accept it, and then it's mm-hmm. kind of like, okay, well, let's do some research. Let's figure out, you know, what bag works for him. How does he best respond to a bag change? What should we do? What's our routine? You know, and once mm-hmm. you get home, your life just looks so different because then it's like you can have a routine and you can make it mm-hmm. like your life. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, it's hard. You know, you don't have privacy. You don't have,
right.
I mean, you've got people coming in all hours of the night. But I feel like we did say, why me? You know, mm-hmm. why us? Especially after the infertility struggle. You
and
know,
how
I
long
think
did that take?
It took about a year and a half for us to get pregnant. And then mm-hmm. once, you know, we got pregnant, we just, you know, prayed for a healthy child. And so it did feel like, I mean, we were angry. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why did we go through this struggle to get pregnant? And then now we have, you know, all of these things mm-hmm. going on with our sweet baby that
yeah.
we just wanted to be healthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, at some point, you know, you just... It's like something clicks and you just accept it and you just pull up your bootstraps mm-hmm. and you say, this is my life and mm-hmm. this is what life is going to look like. It's going to look a little different, but that's okay, you know. And once we got home, life just started to look a lot more normal. So
I think that's a really good point, yeah. too, because when you're in the hospital, you've got people everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think just being in a hospital, regardless of the situation, is overwhelming. At least it is for me, just because of to me what it means. It's not always happy. And I think hormonally, you've just had a baby.
Definitely.
I think about what I was like yeah. after I had my first yeah. and second. And, you know, I just think that's so overwhelming. And so I'm wondering also in this time, because it's very critical, you don't, you know, he's had the bag, you're having to put on your big girl panties, you've got to go home, you've got to be all these things you weren't planning on being, and Tyler's alongside you. How did that look? Because I, you know, my situation, I'm divorced and remarried, and so I'm co-parenting with a stepdad, and his situation's different because he's not the biological dad. And, you know, we've had times in our walk together where we don't always agree with how a situation should be handled.
Right.
Now, granted, they weren't medical situations like what you're going through, but I'm just wondering, what did that look like for you and Tyler? How long had you been married prior to this? And, you know, what is that like when you know, because emotionally when you're charged with, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. you know,
let's make the best decision here.
Yeah. How, mm-hmm. how was it natural to always work together, or did you buck heads a little bit? I mean, I'm just thinking sometimes there's tension that comes along with lack of sleep.
Absolutely.
And totally. You know, panic and...
You know, God just gave us grace. I mean, mm-hmm. we just, I think in those moments you either kind of, there's a wedge between you or mm-hmm. you just get closer.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
Tyler and I just stuck together.
Great.
I mean, he is such a rock. I mean, mm-hmm. his faith is just so rock solid. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, through all of the confusion of the diagnoses and everything, you know, I mean, he just always kept to being faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't doubt nearly as much as I did. I mean, mm-hmm. I felt like every day I was just questioning, you mm-hmm. know, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do down the road and all this? And, you know, Tyler just was so steady, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting to see, like, when he would have those moments of, like, breakdown, you know, it's like you go into the mode of, like, consoling and mm-hmm. being there for him and mm-hmm. then vice versa. So, mm-hmm. I mean... I feel like, handled it well as we could.
Sure,
have.
Right.
I mean, we also kind of just recognize, like, I'm better at this or I'm not as good at
right.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so, like, when we would do a bag change, I remember, you know, we would lay him out on the changing table and Tyler would hold George mm-hmm. and kind of entertain him
right.
while I would kind of do, like, the mechanics of the bag change,
right.
you
mm-hmm.
know, because it took about, you know, almost 30 minutes every time.
Oh,
you know,
goodness.
20 to 30 minutes to do a bag change.
Wow.
And so, because you had to clean around the stoma,
yes.
you had to make sure, you know, all of the paste and everything was off to get, you know, the skin had to be totally dry before you could put everything back on. So
just
kind of naturally fell into this rhythm where, you know, you're really good at entertaining and keeping mm-hmm. him happy and mm-hmm. holding him down. You're stronger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm better at, like, making sure the bag is perfectly cut,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right,
so
right,
that
right.
it fits perfectly on his stoma. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it just worked out. I mean,
yeah.
I just am very grateful that we were just shown grace through
yes.
all of that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's the Lord.
It is totally the Lord, because we were not our best selves, you know, and somehow it worked.
During that time, so before we started taping, you were talking about, I said, you know, who's watching George today?
Right.
And you said your mom came in. And so during those months and times, like when you were sleeping on the nursery floor and everything like that, were you able to steal away and just take a deep breath with Tyler and have your mom watch him? Or, you know, what did that look like for you guys to just kind of go, you know, take a deep breath and...
Right. We would occasionally, you mm-hmm. know, do, like, my sister would come in and we'd mm-hmm. go and do a date night or something. We were really ambitious and went to Chicago for a few days because I had, like, a work trip planned. Mm-hmm. And even though I'd given my resignation, it was still on the books. And
mm-hmm.
so
right.
We just paid for the flights and went up there. And that was a little ambitious for
okay.
our moms,
okay.
and, you know, I still have a little bit of mom guilt about that because he just stopped eating, and it was a tough time. But I think we thought, oh, well, it's going to be a rough month, first month with the mask, and then mm-hmm. It's just going to be all he knows, you
right,
know. And
right, right. Not so much.
That's real cute, but it was not. I mean, it took us about probably 6 to 9 months for the mask to be just not a big deal,
okay.
right.
you know, or
right.
like, this is what you do.
Was that
right.
how long you held him?
No,
you
I mean, we would
routine?
Sleep on the floor
okay. oh,
and then,
right.
you know, get up when he mm-hmm. needed us.
Because
we were about the monitors.
The norm for him to accept 6 to 9 months for him
yes.
to say,
for him to,
okay,
I
put this on.
For him to
all
understand, and I'm
right.
going to go to sleep all night
right.
you know,
with
this on.
On me. Right.
Yeah.
And not be afraid of it, possibly.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ton of air. Like, you know, you're taking it. It's enough air for you to take a full breath on it.
Okay.
So it's a lot of pressure, pressurized air in your
oh,
face.
Oh, I didn't
you know?
Even think yeah. about that. I've never had that on me. So
yeah, and the mask covers his whole face. So he kind of looks like an astronaut, you know? I'm like, one day this could double as a Halloween costume.
There you
be an astronaut.
Did you ever see the movie Wonder? It's making me
yes,
think of the movie
yes.
Wonder.
Well, I read the book.
Yes.
Well, the book is better than the movie, but it's fun to see the imagery in the movie of Augie, and he had an astronaut's, like, helmet that
yes.
he would hide in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, that just made me think of that.
So was there any other time that you all got to, you know, be married? Just
like anniversary, we would go out on a date night.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we just tried to do, like, enjoy the little things. Like, mm-hmm. we get to, you know, my mom would be in town, and we're going to just go want to walk around the block together, yeah. just Tyler and me. Or, yeah. you know, when we put George down, let's watch a movie together and, mm-hmm. like, you know, make dinner together. And, yeah, right. you know, I mean, we've tried really hard to nurture our marriage, you know, because mm-hmm. that's most important.
Right.
You know. But we have also kind of just surrendered that this time in our lives is just not going to look like we thought it would. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have a child that needs us, you know, and so we're not going to be able to go on like a Mexico vacation, right. you know, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Right.
Right.
And we really are not bitter about it. I mean, I think that that's part of God's grace is that we just mm-hmm. accept it. And mm-hmm. we know that our lives could even look so different from the way they look now. Mm-hmm. So...
Which is what surrendering can do, yes. you know, for you, right. which is such a great comment that you just made, because I do think it makes such a difference. And, you know, unfortunately nowadays with all the social media that we have out there, people make their lives look so glamorous. And
sure.
it's easy for folks to be jealous.
Yeah.
I know, because it's not. I mean, life who's going to put their hot stinking life. Mess on Facebook?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you probably saw pictures of us during that time on Facebook, you would think, oh, look, there's just this happy little family. Nothing's right. going on.
No strife, no stress.
Yeah.
So yeah. One of the things, I don't think it's a question that we have for you, but it's something that I'm thinking about, the cost of all of this. Oh.
So we are so, like, grateful and blessed that my husband works for a medical sales company. And
oh,
so
okay.
we have just amazing healthcare, like
Very
benefits.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So that's huge. I mean, we haven't had a huge out of pocket
wow,
cost.
That's
Our church
fantastic.
Gave us some like a donation too,
oh,
which was really sweet and
nice.
Not anything that we had,
right.
you know, asked for or, you know, even thrown
that's
out
a,
there. But
it's a neat gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's fantastic. So okay, so he's had those two surgeries. Has he not had to have anything else? He just has the mask now.
Yeah, he just has the mask. You know, we have to be careful with George since he doesn't have a colon.
Yeah.
You know, when he gets like a stomach bug, we usually end up at Children's
okay.
for you know, like fluids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because you know, you think about like when you have a stomach bug, you know, everything is just flushing
yes.
out, and
yes.
so when you don't have a colon, it's even going quicker.
Right.
So it's really easy for him to get. Dehydrated. So, but other than that, I mean, and we have to be real careful about him getting sick too,
mm-hmm.
you know, from like a cold,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he is on the ventilator. So,
right.
you know, we might have to adjust his settings and we want to
okay.
make sure, you know, and be really careful that it doesn't, you know, settle into his lungs or anything
right.
like that. But I feel like you have to be like that with any kid. You
right.
know, you have to.
Right. You just have different things, tools that you're dealing with
right.
in that.
Right,
right.
So what? So he doesn't go to daycare, I would assume, because that would
he
be a...
He doesn't.
Oh,
but he's going to start going
be...
to school in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
So we're really excited.
Yeah. Because I'm just thinking a plethora of germs, but...
I know. It's true. I feel like I've never been more of a, like, germaphobe than
right.
I am now,
right.
you know,
right.
everywhere
sanitizer
we go.
Everywhere.
Like, sanitizer
everywhere. Yes.
Sanitizer.
Right.
You know?
Wipes. Yeah, all that.
Yeah, but he's going to go to school for 2 days.
All right.
Yeah. He's not going to nap there, obviously,
right.
but...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to go to school. So,
and
you
did
know,
you have to shop around for that? I'm sorry to interrupt. It
no,
just
you're
made
fine.
Me think.
A little bit. I mm-hmm. mean, we just needed to find a good fit, like a smaller school that would understand kind
mm-hmm.
of, you know, where we were with
right.
George, and you know that they could be honest, like, hey, listen, there's an outbreak of like a stomach bug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, right. we need
we'll
to
right.
keep
George
him home.
In for you know
mm-hmm.
a week
right.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it did take a little bit of time, but honestly, not much. I mean, the Lord just has. Really provided like the perfect
yeah.
school for him, I think.
Yeah.
So
are you happy about time to go to school or?
Oh gosh, yes.
Yes?
I mean, I'm so excited. I mean, I don't know what I'll do with
mm-hmm.
like free time,
mm-hmm.
but I keep joking with Tyler, like telling him all of these things I want to do. Like I'm like, I could take tennis lessons
right.
and I could do this Bible study and I could do, and he's like, you know, it's 3 hours.
Right.
Like, it's not
Good
that
luck.
Much time, you know? So, but yes.
But 3 hours.
Well, you might
like,
sleep for 3 hours.
Right.
I know. And you know, he's got a lot of energy. I'm
mm-hmm.
just excited about not being responsible for getting all of that energy
right.
out, you know, because I'm not the fun parent. I mean, I love Tyler, but he is the fun parent.
Right.
He is the one. I mean,
right.
I'm the rock. I will
mm-hmm.
change your ostomy bag. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, he is going to be the one that's going to, like, entertain you while
right.
I change the bag.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right.
So.
You have
yeah.
to be that person.
That's I've
okay.
accepted that, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it'll be nice that he's going to be able to be around other kids
yeah,
and
that's
kind of
great.
Get that interaction experience, too.
So is this his you know, the mask and that whole thing, is that going to be lifelong?
Yeah, I know that was my next question.
It is.
What does
his
life look like moving forward?
Yeah. So he's gonna always have to be ventilated somehow.
Okay.
Now there are other ways to do it. I mean, we could do it, you know, obviously through the mask. There's also something called diaphragmatic pacers that go on the phrenic nerve in your diaphragm and stimulate your nerve so that you take a breath. I don't know that that'll be us. I think we at this point are happy with where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just try to kind of, we're trying to make his life as normal as possible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'd like to not go through another surgery right now. We'd like for him to get to the age where he can tell us what he wants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sense that there's probably going to be a time, you know, where he's going to want to go camping with his friends,
you know.
And I don't think we have the battery life on the ventilator to be able to do that. So maybe he might want the pacers at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in time, we're just going to keep with what we have.
Okay,
stay there.
Do you do play dates with him? So he's already socialized with other kiddos?
Yes,
and
yes. Not as much in the winter because we try to, you know, with cold and flu season, we really try to keep him indoors mostly, away from sick kiddos anybody else. But so we have our small group and they all have kiddos. We put them in the church nursery now. So which is really nice to be able
that
to just have like an hour to go and
breath.
Really be at church and
church.
Be present
yeah.
and not have to be worried about him running around and he's like I said, crazy. But he's really fun.
He's a normal
he's a 2.5 year old boy.
Yeah.
So he is everything you would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as far as you being a mom, I just think that I don't know that we hit on this, and I'm going to go backwards a little bit. But because, you know, right after you have a baby, there's a time of your body trying to find normal. But in the middle of your body trying to find normal, you are also trying to figure out, you know, make these medical decisions and how to, you know, what are the best decisions here. So what did you do to, you know, kind of take care of yourself during that time?
Oh, that's a good question. Do you even remember?
It's kind of a blur.
Survival.
You know, Tyler was awesome. I mean, he would just say, you know, go and get a pedicure. Like,
okay,
just go
good.
Take this afternoon, go get a pedicure.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, go over to a friend's house and, you know, have a girls' night with your friends. You know, now it's easier. I mean, it's a whole lot easier now to be able to go. I mean, Tyler can put him down by himself or I can put him down by myself, you know, if he's busy. And so now it's so much easier. I would say then there wasn't a ton of, like, time or, like, the option to be able to really, like, do a lot on my own. But I don't know. I read books. I would, you know, listen to podcasts, listen to sermons, you know, just trying to kind of protect what I was taking in and watching and seeing to kind of help me be my best self then.
Yeah. That was going to be my follow-up question because, like you said, watching what you take in because TV, sometimes entertainment is not always
positive.
Yeah. Positive, helpful,
uplifting.
Yeah. So what kind of entertainment, you know, do you do even now?
Oh, gosh.
Do you just sit and watch TV or is there?
No, we don't really. I mean, we don't have cable, so we don't watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
Well, we do have Netflix, so.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta have Netflix.
We have to have Netflix,
yeah.
But I read. I mean, you know, like, I usually read before I go to bed, and I was so tired then that wasn't really happening much.
Right.
But, you know, truthfully, we just started watching Friends on Netflix, my husband and I did, because we were like, we just needed something light, you know, and that wouldn't be real emotional.
So we
watched Friends. But I didn't do a lot of social media at that time. You know, I wasn't looking at Facebook. I wasn't looking at Instagram a lot. And it wasn't that I wasn't happy or excited for my friends. You know, I'd been pregnant with a lot of other women that I love. They were some of my closest friends, but I needed to protect myself, you know, because it, for me, every time I saw, you know, this family that's out at the park or the zoo or whatever, it mm-hmm. kind of reminded me of what we didn't have.
Right.
You know, and
and that can mess with your head, and I think Satan is just waiting to attack with those sort of insecurities, just tiny little, you know, eat away at us. Mm-hmm. And I think you were kind of trying to get there to that with that question, but I do think it's important to, I can't think of the word, but just protect our heart when we have those.
Yeah. And it's not that I wasn't happy for my friends. I want to make sure that
I understand,
you know,
what you're
because
saying.
It's. It wasn't them, it was me,
right?
You know, and I just, I needed to get to a point where I could really be there for them mm-hmm. and be excited and mm-hmm. joyful for them mm-hmm. and not, I didn't want to be like a bitter person,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So
you don't strike me as a bitter person anyway. No, very joyful person, but I do think that's common. And also I think, you know, we're humans and we have feelings and you've been through a lot and it's hard to organize all of that and get it right with your heart and your head and... Right. You have to sort of protect yourself.
Yeah. So what's your best advice for particularly a mom, but a mom and dad who's facing, you know, any kind of thing like this? It probably won't be the exact same thing that you and Tyler are walking through or have walked through. But, you know, kind of looking back on it, like, what would you say to other moms?
I mean, I think the first thing is just to allow yourself to experience, like, your grief. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you can grieve this. Like, you can grieve what you'd expected mm-hmm. this would be, you know. And then I think the second thing would be just to allow people to love on you, you know, and allow people to be able to bring you meals or, mm-hmm. like, you know, just do things for you. Because that was something that I was never really comfortable with. Like, I didn't want to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Let people help you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say also to connect with a good group of people that understand what you're going through.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I remember one day a girlfriend from back home that, you know, I was friends with, we didn't go to the same school or anything, but she had heard about our story and she called me because she had a special needs daughter. And just talking with somebody who understands, you know,
the gauntlet of feelings
absolutely.
And all of that. Absolutely.
Yes. And, that can go so far. I mean, getting on that CCHS network and talking with these parents that they get it. They mm-hmm. know what we're going through. Like when we say that we slept on the floor for 6 months, they're like, oh, me too. I get it, you know. Mm. And so just finding people who you can bounce ideas off of. For me, it really worked. Once we finally got the diagnosis, I allowed myself to be able to do research and look online. I tried to not do that until we knew.
Right.
And so for me, knowledge was power. Mm-hmm. So, you know, understanding, okay, what does this look like? What does this mean? You know, what are the treatment options out there? What are the different, you know, research, you know, things that are going on for CCHS? So knowledge was kind of power for me at that time.
Yeah.
And just being a student of what he had.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or has.
I think that's beautiful.
That is. Katie, you know, we are so thankful mm-hmm. for you just agreeing to do, you know, to come in and to do this. And thank you, Mom, for coming in and sitting with George and everything so that you could share your story. And I know that so many moms and families are finding inspiration through, you know, through your story. So we truly appreciate it. If you are listening and you'd like to get in touch with Katie and she's wonderful and she will share with you and she's like
she's blushing.
Stop it. She is a mom extraordinaire and she has so much knowledge and experience with these types of things. So if you'd like to reach out to her, you can do it through Vicky and I. So our social media is EHEW Radio and that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And our website is ehewradio.com. So reach out to us and we'll get you in touch with Katie. So thank you so much, Katie.
Thank
we truly appreciate you. Truly appreciate your time.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Vicky, for being here.
Yes.
taking this ride with me. We will see all of you listeners next week at 6 p.m. here on The Word 100.7 FM. Our show is a program of Love Ministries. You can find more information on Love Ministries at loveministriesbuilds.org. We pray that you have a wonderful week.